The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So, Steve, let's turn to your second chart where you highlight how the border and climate change were major issues in the year that was.
Yes, that's exactly right, of course, Jonathan. The border was not Biden's finest moment, frankly. You can see what happened here. And Trump is not wrong when he talks about how border crossings were quite low. They were running about 74,000 a month when he left office. And they, in fact, did shoot up. Some of it was some things Biden said and some ways that they put a moratorium, for example, on deportations. But in fact, we did get up here almost to 300,000 a month.
It just feels like this is a president with bad instincts. He's always seems to be late. You look at the debacle in Afghanistan, just to name one of many maladies of the Biden era. And then you look at today. This was, by my count and just my own independent research, the 11th deadliest terrorist attack on American soil. It was on the level of San Bernardino, the level of Fort Hood. And it just feels like Biden's remarks 16 hours late are a little too late.
We know we have President Trump coming in. They want to cause fear. They want to cause panic. But I think that what we're seeing as well is over 4+ years, we've had millions of people cross our borders. We know there's sleeper cells in our area. We know they're easily activated. And I think that what you're seeing now is a desperation for both ISIS and Iran to refocus and reconstitute its efforts to try and potentially go after targets here in the U.S.
So I was saying yesterday, we're off to a rocky start here in the calendar year 2025. For four years, Joe Obama has just invited in the world, and then to see all these people just rush to the defense of the murderer. Well, he was born in Texas. Never mind the ideology. Never mind the ISIS flag. It's just normal garden variety violence. Happens all the time. It's like Kaylee noted there. What is this, the 10th or the 11th worst in U.S. history? 15 people now dead because of that New Year's Eve rampage. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. You can join in on the conversation there. Both of those sites, of course, have the live stream available every day, every weekday, I should say. And then also they're posted after the fact in case you'd like to watch on demand. Some more details coming in about this killer. We talked about it briefly on yesterday's show. I guess the truck was a rental and it did cross the border evidently back in, November, a month ago, I guess. So the ISIS flag flying in the back, the guy was armed. He had explosive devices as well. It says at Breitbart, the suspect accused of plowing a pickup truck through a crowd on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, killing 15 and injuring at least 30 on New Year's Day, is named Shamsuddin Jabbar, according to the FBI. It says the FBI also confirmed that Jabbar, whose identity was first reported by NOLA.com, is 42 years old, and he was carrying an Islamic State of Iraq and Syria flag in the vehicle. I mean, look at the protests inspired by October 7. I mean, that's been going on for a year. They took to the streets again last night in New York. In support of jihad, in support of the intifada. And we just go about our daily business as if it's no big deal. And then something has to be said about the leadership here. These two women, the grandmother who's the police chief, and then the DEI hire. Let's just call it what it is. You know, the one that said it's not terrorism at all. That was her first statement yesterday morning. And of course, even the fake president has now acknowledged that it was terrorism that he was inspired by ISIS. Listen to these two women, and see if it doesn't bring Isaiah 3 to mind, clip 12.
In order to conduct this, he was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did. Because of the nature and the indices that we have on the scene, and we have enough information that the FBI will be taking over this investigation. And with that, I am going to be asking, this is the assistant agent in charge, this is Agent Duncan, Special Agent Duncan, and she has taken over this case on behalf of us and the FBI. As always, we will be in partnership with all of our partners. But Agent Duncan, if you want to have a few words for everyone.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning. My name is Alika Duncan. I'm the Assistant Special Agent in Charge for FBI New Orleans. As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we'll be taking over the investigative lead for this event. This is not a terrorist event.
And New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick may look familiar to us here in the Bay Area. That's because she did serve as Oakland's police chief from 2017 until 2020. She was the city's first female police chief. Kirkpatrick was fired 3 years later by an independent commission. She sued, claiming wrongful termination for exposing corruption and abuse of power within the department, and received a $1.5 million settlement. She was hired by New Orleans in 2023.
Hired in 2023, fired by the Bay Area, Oakland. And then just this past August, she accidentally ran over two pedestrians. So, again, I'm sure the lady's nice, but fired and then a lawsuit, a $1.5 million settlement. And there she is. New Orleans is in good hands. What? Just think for a moment. Think what the terrorists must be thinking. When they see the dearth of leadership, a male authority, the fighting man, as Isaiah 3 says. Someone just sent me an email about a documentary in the UK, Tommy Robinson, how that it's effectively banned. And you read some of the details about these rape gangs coming from, so many of them, Muslim nations. Just invite the world in. They do it in the UK as well. But you read some of the details of these rape gangs. It's disgusting, appalling stuff. And so much of it covered up by our own leaders, by the regime media. Well, we can't be Islamophobic. And so we create these narratives to tell you this vile filth that's on display is not really that vile. It's not really that filthy. Look at these protesters. Again, you talk about timing. This was in Manhattan yesterday, clip 10. How do you correct this? How do you undo it? How do you roll it back? There were crowds much larger than this following October 7. It was happening nearly every weekend. And same in the UK. How could they come out? How could they take to the streets following the October 7 massacre? Or just hours after the New Orleans massacre? There they are, hundreds of them. You think, well, that's just a small protest. Hundreds just after that rampage, that terrorist flying the ISIS flag? Breitbart says hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters marched in New York City on New Year's Day for Intifada, blocking 6th Avenue in Manhattan just hours after a terror attack in New Orleans. How's that for timing? Just a few hours later, taking to the streets in New York. The Times of Israel says attendees chanted, "Resistance is glorious. We will be victorious. We will honor all our martyrs. And Gaza, you make us proud. They carried signs that said Zionism is cancer, no war on Iran, and end all U.S. aid to Israel. Yeah, it's going on right in our own country, right here at home. You talk about sickness, you talk about cancer, and it's spreading. It's spreading. I mean, you have to try hard just to find a story preaching the truth about rape gangs, Muslim rape gangs in the UK. This is the incoming border czar, Tom Homan. I think he was on Fox, clip 5.
So this is just another danger this country faces, because this country's been lax on national security in the groups like this been emboldened. I mean, when you got, you know, protesters walking down the streets in New York City carrying terrorist flags, chanting death to Israel and death to the United States, and nothing's being done about it. And when you have a secure a border that was secure under President Trump and this administration unsecured it on purpose, it's an open invitation for those around the world that hate this country.
Wide open. That's what the border's been. And so, like Kaylee said in that cold open, when the fake president gets up there and talks about how brutal this attack was, how it was inspired by ISIS, well, then look at what he's invited into the country, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, it's as we've been saying, it's a refreshing change to go from, you know, an individual that hates his country, that wanted to fundamentally transform it, to at least a president who's a patriot. But it's too little too late, isn't it? We've got to start thinking about some of these bigger prophecies in the United States and Britain in prophecy book. Herbert Armstrong's master text. When it comes to Bible prophecy, a third of your Bible is prophecy, and we're seeing curses set in. And so many of them, I mean, we've invited in to our own nation. We welcome it. They take to the streets. They can chant death to America. And that's perfectly fine. That's okay. Rape gangs can roam through the UK, and that's okay. We'll cover that up. We'll make sure you don't read about it in the newspapers. Listen to, this is Kyle Scheidler. He was on with Kaylee last night, clip 7.
Kyle, I want to read something you sent to our producers. It really stood out to me. We have limited counterterrorism efforts, you say, speaking of the federal government, because they're wasting their time on Catholics and parents at PTA meetings. So do you believe some of the headlines we've seen throughout the duration of the Biden administration about the lost focus of the FBI, who ended up retracting that Catholics memo, but nevertheless it existed, do you believe that took the focus away from finding individuals like this guy you're looking at, Jabbar?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the reality is that beginning with the Obama administration and moving to what they call countering violent extremism and away from traditional counterterrorism methods, we have inculcated federal law enforcement with education that tells them to focus on the mentally ill, people who are deep in chat rooms, instead of looking at terror networks, terror sponsors, looking at training and indoctrination networks. These are things we used to understand after 9/11. We looked at how terrorists move money. We looked at how they moved men abroad to train them in places like Yemen or Afghanistan. Are we still doing that? Or are we focused solely on this idea of extremists, of minimizing terrorism as something that just done by a crazy person who spends too much time on his computer? And I think we're paying the cost for that.
Absolutely. He's right. The focus. Just look at the federal agencies that come out. The knee-jerk reaction is that this was not terrorism. Well, they corrected it a few hours later. Still, though, look at where their focus has been, on parents, on Catholics. He's right. He's right. On January 6 protesters. That's right. This was in the New York Post, by the way. President Joe Biden is bestowing the second highest civilian medal on Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson, the lawmakers who led the congressional investigation into the violent January 6, 2021 protest. So Liz Cheney, I don't know if she gets a pardon as well, but this is almost as insulting as a pardon would be. She's awarded for her work in going after protesters. Some protesters, you've got to crack down on them. That would be Trump supporters. But the other ones that hate America, that call for the end of Israel, yeah, just want to blot it off the map. They can take to the streets. That's no problem. It happened yesterday. You can chant whatever you want about how much you hate America. Meanwhile, Liz Cheney, she's going to be awarded the highest medal that you can receive as a civilian. I mean, this is an upside down world. Tommy Robinson, for his part, over in the UK, he's trying to bring attention to horrific atrocities. And they want to shut down his voice. They want to blot out his coverage. That's what happens in an upside down world. The real leaders are silenced. I mean, you can't make this up. Like I said, I'm sure the woman down in New Orleans is a nice lady. But she's heading up the police department. She just got fired. And New Orleans says, yeah, we'll take her. And there she is. She's the first spokesperson we're introduced to. And then she hands it over to the FBI agent that says, it's not terrorism at all. And these people wonder why Donald Trump won in a landslide. Look at what's happening to America's streets. Look at what we've invited in. Look at the kind of diversity we applaud. If you hate America, well, you're going to be awarded. If you're trying to undermine the Constitution, we'll give you the highest civilian medal there is. This attack, let me see if I can get, I've shuffled my papers around. This is from the American Thinker. We'll go ahead and play this connection with Vegas. There was the car, the Tesla, that exploded right out in front of one of Donald Trump's hotels in Las Vegas. Here's MSNBC on that, clip six.
One of the things that those of us who've been involved in security know, that in the first 24 hours after an attack like this, the level of disinformation can be very high. Though it does seem as though there's an increasing body of evidence that there were accomplices in this attack. I'm not prepared to say that Las Vegas is somehow linked to New Orleans. It could be a coincidence, but it does feel as though there's a new security threat environment out there. Not necessarily because ISIS is involved, but because of the prospect of copycat attacks. It does seem as though there's a new security environment out there. We've got the inauguration approaching. I heard this morning there's a rally that President-elect Trump is planning to have before the inauguration. And then, of course, you have the Super Bowl a few weeks after that, which to me suggests that the President-elect should consider asking the current FBI director, Chris Wray, to stay on. Not leave on January 20, stay on through the inauguration, stay on through the Super Bowl, which itself is a huge security environment. This is not the time to see our FBI director walking out the door in 18 days.
Got to keep Chris Wray in there. That's the Obama guy, Jay Johnson. Any excuse to hold over the old guard, to keep the Obama people in power. As if Chris Wray has been doing a sterling job over at the FBI. He's probably going to go out with an award as well. They love to award themselves. They love to applaud any kind of dirty activity. Dirty cops galore. They get promoted. They get jobs at MSNBC. They get awards for covering up the truth. How much truth did Liz... How much truth is Liz Cheney responsible for covering up the highest medal that you could get? Sundance says about these two attacks in New Orleans and Las Vegas, a Tesla truck was used to attack the Trump Hotel. Obviously, a targeted attack messaging the incoming presidency of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson is from Louisiana, the location of the earlier attack. It says the attack in Vegas is now linked to the early morning terrorist attack in New Orleans, where a truck also loaded with improvised explosive materials and devices ran into a crowd celebrating the new year, killing 15. It says both the Tesla truck and the pickup truck in New Orleans were rented through an app called Turo. So there's Sundance connecting some of these dots. Homegrown terrorism. And now with Donald Trump coming in, I mean, my father was talking about the likelihood of radical left-inspired violence, perhaps even around the time of the inauguration. Well, we're getting it in a little bit of a different way. But look at the violence, just this story from New York. There's no indication that this one is terrorism related, but this is from New York, the AP. 10 people were wounded in a shooting outside the New York City nightclub while they were waiting to get into a private event, police said. About 15 people were standing outside Amazura at 11:15 p.m., that's in Queens, where four men on foot approached the group of 16 to 20-year-olds. Three or four men opened fire on the group, according to NYPD. I mean, how do you explain this gruesome violence just spreading like a scourge across our land? Young people killing each other. Or how do you explain getting into a truck and looking for the most crowded place on the street? How do you stop this? As I said earlier, how do you dial it back? This is from the American Thinker. It says vehicular terror events are becoming more common throughout the world. In 2021, a driver rammed into, well, it just gives you the one in Wisconsin from a few years back. The killing of 86 people in France. 13 died and dozens more were injured at a Berlin Christmas market the same year. It says the origin of the vehicular terror strategy is unclear, but some years ago, the English language ISIS magazine called Rumaya called for vehicle attacks on the West in an article called Just Terror Tactics. Yeah, ISIS has been calling for this for years. They're applauding it. Not just in Middle Eastern nations. They're applauding it in New York City, some of them. Al-Qaeda has made calls for similar attacks, calling trucks the ultimate mowing machine. The article in Rumaya said, this is a quote, though being an essential part of modern life, very few actually comprehend the deadly and destructive capability of the motor vehicle and its capacity of reaping large numbers of casualties if used in a premeditated manner. Vehicles are like knives, as they are extremely easy to acquire. Anyone can be a terrorist. Just get a vehicle. Just rent a car. Just rent a Tesla. And look for the crowds. How do you stop this in a nation of, what, 330, 40 million? So many soft targets. It says here, ordinarily, mass casualty terror events are associated with guns. One was used by the driver in the New Orleans attack. But firearms are difficult to come by in most countries. That doesn't mean shooting incidents are completely unknown outside the U.S. You can own a gun in Germany, but must meet several strict requirements. So you just had the attack recently in Germany. This has happened in Europe. Happened in New Orleans. And it's going to be happening more frequently when we come back. I just want to take you through some of these sobering prophecies in Leviticus 26. Again, this is discussed at length in Herbert Armstrong's book here. I'll just plug this before we cut away. But the United States and Britain and prophecy, this is a must read. A third of your Bible is prophecy. So call our operators today and request your free copy of the United States and Britain in prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
Chaos at the southern border. Three migrants have been arrested for allegedly killing a Mexican immigration agent after he asked for their IDs. While Texas DPS arrests 11 illegal migrants from Venezuela, Colombia, and Mexico as more rush to cross before Trump takes office. Tom, you and I have talked extensively about what's happening on the Mexican side of the border, but this assault on the INM agent there, just about 30 miles south of Ciudad Juarez, is something that we typically don't see. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think we may see more of it. I mean, the President Trump, you know, I'm not speaking for President Trump, but, you know, he's going to take action against the criminal cartels in Mexico. Criminal cartels in Mexico kill more American people than every terrorist organization in the world. So, that, you know, we're shutting down the border is going to take, put them out of business. So I think you're going to see more violence on the border in the beginning. But it's something we certainly have to do. We got to secure the border because it's the biggest national security vulnerability we've ever seen in this country. So I think we'll see more cross-border crime in the beginning. But, you know, it's something we expect and something we're going to have to deal with because we have to secure that border.
And, you know, the past 4 years have given us these unprecedented chaos numbers. There's nearly 11 million migrant encounters now at the Biden-Harris, under the Biden-Harris administration. That doesn't even include the 2 million known gotaways, which could be even higher. And
there's really no way to know for sure just how many millions have come through the porous border. I mean, You're staring at security threats all over the country. And yes, he's Homan and Donald Trump. They're going to close it finally. That's why migrants are rushing to the border right now to get in before it's closed. Just get across. And they're bringing so many of their problems with them right into the United States of America. Die by suicide, as Lincoln said. How do you fix something like this? Well, mass deportations, I suppose that's a starting place. But just looking at the world at large, how do you fix this? It's chaos. Nearly everywhere you look. And the murderous spirit. People's hearts just filled with hatred. Violence. Switch back to Kyle Scheidler. This is On with Kaylee last night, clip 9.
You know, something that I would say is that the global war on terror veterans have been trying to tell the Biden administration something for 3 years since the departure from Afghanistan, and they haven't listened. And so now this message, I'm actually saying it to the Trump administration. There is an emerging threat gathering on the horizon of local distributed attacks that's going to look much more like October 7 than it does 9/11. And the reason that I'm saying that is because a whole number of global war on terror veterans picked up the phone when the Biden administration abandoned 99% of our human intelligence capability in Afghanistan. And we paid for safe houses and for babies to be born and a range of other things. And over the last 3 years, those individuals who are very well placed, who have tremendous information, Kaylee, have been giving very high fidelity, high veracity information about local attacks where we live, work, and play. And I do believe this is the first shot across the bow.
The terrorists are adapting. And they're increasing their numbers as well. And they're being told in their literature, look, all you need is a vehicle. You don't even need a gun. Just get in a big car or a truck and look for the crowds and mow them down. This is significant. And where is it leading? As I said, I just wanted to take you through some of these verses in Leviticus 26 and so many of these verses are discussed in this book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. So if you'd like to delve more deeply into it or to its parallel prophecy in Deuteronomy 28, make sure that you request your free copy today. Leviticus 26 here in verse 1, it says, "You shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it." God says, look, you want to wipe out idolatry through and through. You just want to obliterate it. All of these false gods, all of these pagan practices. What did the one preacher say last week? We played the clip. It's an old clip. But he said, yeah, I mean, all these practices, they are pagan. But look, it's okay as long as you Christianize it. Is that what God thinks? Is that what God says here in Leviticus 26? As long as you put a Christian label on it, it's okay. It's perfectly fine. God doesn't say that at all. He says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Eternal." It says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. And then what follows are all of these fabulous blessings. Now, I don't have time to get into all the specifics with this prophecy and how that it was delayed for the 2,520 years. And then around about the early 1800s, for both of our nations, I'm talking about America and Britain. I mean, we just skyrocketed in power, in wealth, and in influence. Not because of our own righteousness, because of the promises God made to Abraham in the book of Genesis. Of all books, the very first book of the Bible, God promised it to Abraham. And he said, look, and this is why America became the single greatest superpower in history. And it's why Great Britain became the greatest empire in world history. But now look at what's happening to our nations. Now look at the problems we're inviting in. Now look at the curses as they begin to pile up. Verse 18, it says, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins." And Mr. Armstrong explains in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy how that refers to the duration. They would be punished. You have to go into, you know, a day for a year principle. That's brought out in Ezekiel 4, I think it is. In any event, just backing up to verse 4 to go through some of the blessings. "I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." I mean, we used to produce everything for ourselves. And so much of that, I know Trump's going to try to bring some of those jobs back, but still, is it too little, too late? Look at what we've outsourced. Look at how dependent we are on enemy nations, nations that would love to see America and Britain collapse. Nations that are going to try, they're going to band together so that they can bring about the collapse. But just know the prophecies of God. God gave us all of this fabulous wealth and power, prosperity. And he says, basically, you know, keep it. And the only way to even hang on to it for a time is by turning to God in repentance. By living the right way. That's the problem. We haven't been living the right way. We've been celebrating division and strife. We glorify violence. Verse 6, it says, "And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land." You won't have to worry about these violent attackers terrorizing you. Verse 7, it says, "And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." So much power. I mean, chasing away enemies with just a handful of people. As it is now, you've got the DEI hires, you've got the women ruling over, you don't have the mighty men, you don't have the great men of war. Isaiah 3 prophesies this. What have we done to ourselves? Verse 9, it says, "For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you." I mean, we were fruitful. We did multiply. You certainly saw that in the British Empire. The sun never set on the British Empire until the curses set in the U.S. and Britain. In prophecy, it says, so beginning AD 1800 to 1803, after 2520 years, God did cause the birthright nations and them only to become suddenly the recipients of such national wealth, greatness, and power as no nation or empire before had acquired. It says, together they, the British and Americans, descendants of only one original tribe, Joseph, came into possession of more than 2/3, almost 3/4 of all the cultivated resources and wealth of the whole world. It used to be that the whole world was dependent on America and Britain. Now it's going in the other direction. And this has been, I mean, this has been a decades-long development, as you see the United States and Britain entangled in wars, in all these losing efforts abroad. I mean, the affliction, it's so bitter that, you know, you've got someone campaigning on ending wars abroad, just becoming more of an isolationist. That's not going to solve the problems of this world. In a lot of places, it's going to make it a lot worse. When the U.S. policeman is gone, there are other ascending powers that, as I say, would love to see the total collapse of America and Britain. There's plenty of self-hate right here at home. Whether it's covering up crimes, gang rapes in the U.K., or rushing to justify these horrific acts of violence here in America. Mr. Armstrong says, "The most amazing fact of all history is this sudden skyrocketing from virtual obscurity of two nations to the most fabulous wealth and economic power ever possessed by any people," it says. "Britain became Great Britain, a gigantic, stupendously wealthy commonwealth of nations, the United States, the greatest nation of history, greatest superpower ever. It says more amazing still are the unbelievably shocking facts of the present of how and why we are losing it faster than it came. We're losing all of these blessings faster than we acquired them. I mean, even that's an astonishing story. It's a true story. Fulfilled prophecy. These two nations, going back to the 1800s and carrying right on through, really, to the end of World War II, and a relatively seamless transfer of the policeman authority from Britain to the United States. But now look at these two nations. Now look at these two great nations. Verse 14, it says, "But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant," it says, "I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror." I will appoint over you terror. You go back to, I've got some articles from the early 2000s, right out of the Trumpet magazine, Tomorrow's News Today. And you see what we were saying following 9/11. I mean, that very year, my father talked about entering into the last hour. He said, prophetically speaking, he said, it's going to be intense. It's going to be violent. And you can expect more acts of violence. You can expect it because, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, I mean, we're coming upon dangerous, perilous times. You add to that all of these curses. God says, "I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague," it says, "and shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." I mean, you talk about the tables turning. We've talked about that in the political sense. Turning on Antiochus, turning on the dear leader. But look at the world more broadly. All of this wealth, this prosperity, this strength, this superpower status. And you see a world today where there's a lot of other ascendant powers that are quite, you know, watching what's happening in the United States as we lead up to the inauguration, and then also what's happening in Germany, as we've noted in recent programs, just the fact that they're in the midst of a leadership crisis at the moment. They're calling for their own strongman. They've had their experience with terrorism. Even recently, it's easy to just look at, you know, you see Elon Musk coming out in support for the AFD. And it's easy in the world of today with so many of these communist loving regimes to think that, well, if we can just get the radical left out of the way, any alternative must be a lot better. It must be conservative. Well, watch for that strong man, the next Antiochus, to come out of the heart of Germany and watch him rally the whole continent. And they're going to have one mind, it says in Revelation 17. They're going to be unified, even if it is a mixture of iron and clay, as Daniel 2 describes. There's going to be iron-like strength for the short time that that empire goes on its rampage. We've seen it happen before. History. I mean, just look at history. We've got another book. I mean, together with the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, we've got another booklet. Here it is. It's right on the table. The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Read that one together with the U.S. and B.C. That will give you the framework that you need, and all of our literature is offered without cost or obligation. Mr. Armstrong says here, Well, let me just read verse 19. It says, "And I will break the pride of your power and will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass," breaking the pride that we once had in our power. Here again, it's just a smaller point to take away. When you see the grandmother police chief or the DEI hire, but it does put Isaiah 3 on display. It's nothing against those women. I'm sure they're capable women. But where are the men? Where are the real leaders? This is from Mr. Armstrong, something he wrote many years ago. He says, when U.S. President Woodrow Wilson was running for re-election in 1916, he had been sending the German Kaiser several notes asking the Kaiser to kindly stop torpedoing and sinking American ships. But there was nothing back of his notes to convince the Kaiser that he meant it. It says the German subs kept on sinking American ships until they finally forced U.S. entry into the First World War in April of 1917. It says, during the election campaign in 1916, I stood less than 10 feet from former President Theodore Roosevelt while he commented on Mr. Wilson's many notes. He just said that, you know, it was just all talk, bluster. There was nothing behind it, no real show of power. He says, had that happened when I was in office, I'd send one note and the Kaiser would know that I meant it, and that the second action would be sinking those German subs. Where is that kind of strength today? We'll probably get a lot of talk about, you know, the return to power at the Pentagon or in U.S. military forces. But look at the curses that have been setting in for decades now. Yes, God did intervene to keep or to prevent Israel from being blotted out. But he's crying out to us. His warning continues to go out. He's calling upon our people to turn to him in repentance. My father wrote, this was following 9/11. This is all the way back in November of 2001. And the trumpet, here again, tomorrow's news today. Well, you can see the obvious choice for the cover story. That was following September 11. Terrorism on our own soil. Israel had its 9/11 last year. And now you've got vehicles on the rampage, driven by madmen, terrorists, that just want to kill people, that want to terrorize our society. My father said back in 2001, so many opportunities remain open for terrorists, it's impossible to guard against all attacks. And then he says, and God has prophesied that evil men will grow worse and worse. You can see that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. It's prophesied to get worse. It says that prophecy written more than 1900 years ago is becoming increasingly relevant in our modern day. Further on, he says, as surely as the ocean tides ebb and flow, a rising tide of terrorism has begun sending its grisly waves of death and destruction surging through the world. We are facing a high tide of unprecedented violence. Here again, this is why God wants us to turn. He's trying to get our attention. Dark clouds of nuclear terrorism are on the horizon because mankind is trying to solve the problem on his own. We will surely have to weather some terribly stormy and blood-drenched times ahead. See, the terrorism never did go away. And then look at what it culminated in on October 7. And then people in our own countries take to the streets in support of Hamas. In support. of Hezbollah in support of Iran, the number one terror sponsoring nation in the world. So many evil, violent movements. And then to see your own people in some cases try to cover up the truth. Cover up the gang raping. Cover up the mad violence. Cover up all the migrant crime. Donald Trump really is unique in even talking about it. For the longest time, Republicans wouldn't even say much about it themselves. Trump, remember, he went out there on the campaign trail and said, I've come up with a new term. It's called migrant crime. And his plan, mass deportation. Well, it's better than a wide open border. But why are there so many problems in the world today? Why is there so much violence and hatred? Well, it all gets back to what we wrote about in the trumpet following 9/11. It all gets back to what Mr. Armstrong had to say in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. It's because of our sins. This is another one. Ending the age of terror. It's the same issue that November 2001 trumpet. It says, since the terrorists struck America, we have heard more open religious talk in the U.S. than in the past several decades. Yet not one person referred to Jesus Christ's return to earth as being the only hope, the ultimate solution. Here's your solution to the crime spree, to the terrorist rampage. And no one talks about it, even the religious people. They don't believe it. They don't believe in the literal return of Jesus Christ to this earth. They don't believe he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how many prophecies describe that event, that blessed event? It's one of the first things that Jesus said we ought to be praying for every day. Thy kingdom come. We want the kingdom of God. We need the kingdom of God set up and established on this earth so that crowds can move about their days in peace, not fearing. Well, there's something to be said, too, for not being at a nightclub at midnight or partying all through the night on Bourbon Street. So many problems, so much sickness. And the solution, coming back to the big picture here, the solution is Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God. The solution is God's government, his family government. The solution is law administered by the God family. Law and order, an orderly, peaceful, prosperous society. That's what God is going to bring for all of mankind, for every nation, for every human being. As I say, if you don't have the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, make sure that you call our operators today and request your own free copy. There's no cost, no obligation. Just send us the mailing address and we'll send it off to you. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.